Hello, my name is Reverend Seth Nelson, and I am the pastor of Faith Lutheran Church in Ronan, Montana. Join in weekly to hear the good news of God's love proclaimed over your life. You can follow us on Podbean and iTunes. God bless you this day. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Will the hearts of the prophets ever turn back? Those who prophesy lies and who prophesy the deceit of their own heart? Jeremiah posed this question in our first lesson for this week. He was referring to some of the last prophets in Judah before the kingdom was conquered by Babylon, the Temple of Solomon torn down, and the people hauled off to exile. In the lead up to this colossal disaster of the Old Testament, the royal prophets had been declaring that the people did not need to worry about the imminent invasion and defeat that was clearly at their doorstep, because, they said, God was going to intervene and knock the Babylonians from their perch of power. They convinced the people that they did not need to practice humility, repentance, or do anything to change their ways, because God was happy with the status quo and would fight to protect it so long as they kept giving money to the prophets and priests and making the usual sacrifices. Of course, as we know from history, Jeremiah was right and they were wrong. The kingdom of Judah would be conquered, the people would end up in exile, and the nation would be oppressed, because they had listened to the prosperity preachers of the day. They had been prideful and self-centered in the face of the Almighty, and had turned to worship whatever god they seemed to fancy from one harvest season to the next. And worst of all, they mistreated immigrants, orphans, and widows in their land. For all of these reasons, the prophet Jeremiah and others in the Old Testament courageously declared, often amidst threats on their lives, that the kingdom of Judah would be punished, and punished severely. As a preacher in our day and age, I would like to say that these are ancient follies by people who lived on the other side of the world, facing an empire that has long since been overthrown, so there is no need for us to worry about the consequences of their sin. I would like to say that false prophecies are a thing of the past, and that we live in a nation of laws that is above the pitfalls of governing systems of old. I would like to say that we, citizens of the United States and God-fearing Christians in the 21st century, are religiously and morally more enlightened than our ancestors in the faith were. So we are beyond the problems that they faced in the Old Testament times. I would like to say all of these things, but it would be wrong for me to do so. While we face very different challenges and circumstances here in our nation and in our world at this moment in history, we are just as susceptible to acting like the false prosperity prophets that Jeremiah spoke about if we think that we are ever too good to experience downfalls. While our institutions of republican democracy are well and good for providing law and order and securing peace for us as a nation, our government is still run by sinful people who were voted in by sinful people after campaigns that were funded by sinful people. Our institutions of education, healthcare, transportation, and other infrastructure of goods and services that we rely on to live flourishing lives are all things that we should be proud of, but also have flaws that could and should be mended. Even our military, strongest in the world at the moment, is not immune from attacks and defeat by other nations. Now, I'm not predicting doom and gloom here like the kingdom of Judah faced at the hands of the Babylonians. I am merely pointing out that we can still learn from their mistakes by never forgetting that we are not perfect, nor are the institutions we make. So we should place our trust in God and in God alone. This Sunday, as I am sure most Sundays in America, there are many preachers who would tell you the opposite of what I am telling you now. I've heard all sorts of sermons and messaging from evangelical, fundamentalists, non-denominational, and other Protestant groups that would have you believe that America is perfect, and since God is with us, we can never do anything wrong as a nation. They hammer home ideas that our nation is a special act of God's providence that is beyond critique and never needs to improve, learn from its mistakes, or be humble about anything. They argue that we are a great people not only because we work hard, foster an innovative economic system, and have brave women and men protecting us in the military, all things that are good and godly. But they go further to say that God ordains and sanctions every little thing our nation does as perfect and holy. Like the false prophets that Jeremiah railed against, they say that America does not need to be self-critical or humble, because God will clear the way for our every want and whim as a people. I will be honest, sometimes listening to them, I really want to believe them. Their vision of who we are as a nation is very alluring and tempting to believe. I want to be a good guy in a country of good guys where nobody ever has to repent for anything, because we have always done everything perfectly right. I want to live in the perfect little paradise on earth that they proclaim our country to be, a vision that seems to earn a lot of preachers extra big gifts to buy extravagant homes, build huge churches, and even purchase their own private jets. But then I realized that every one of us, no matter where we come from or what country we fight for, is a sinner in need of Christ's redeeming. Nobody here is sinless or blameless. Every one of us makes mistakes, and every country in human history reflects the sinfulness of its citizens in various ways throughout its existence. I don't think I need to work hard to point out to you how the gridlock and obstruction that has taken hold of Congress for the past decade is a perfect example of what I'm talking about. Congressional ineptitude is a clear example of imperfect people with imperfect agendas failing to compromise for the good of our nation. While the majority of Americans are law-abiding citizens, there has been an epidemic of mostly white men feeling so enraged at the world around them that their only hope is to go on shooting rampages against their neighbors, young and old alike. Another sign of the brokenness that we live with in our nation. Our healthcare system, from drug companies to hospital CEOs, is protected in charging patients and their families into bankruptcy, taking advantage of the reality that any one of us would pay any price to save someone they love. Our nation, like the ancient kingdom of Judah, is full of imperfect, broken, sinful people who create systems and laws that reflect the imperfections and brokenness that exist within all of us. The good news for us this week, though, is that we believe in a God who is greater than our shortcomings and our sins. While we do our best to live and lead well in our institutions of business, education, agriculture, government, and even the church, we do not trust in our own efforts, but in God. Unlike the kingdom of Judah, which believed that it could do no wrong because God showed favor upon their every inclination, that is, until they were conquered and nearly obliterated as a people, we believe that perfection lies in God and in God alone. We will always be a people who need to confess and repent of our wrongdoing and evil desires. But God has promised to always be gracious and forgiving to us anyway. Though we will always fall short, Jesus Christ never will. Christ is the only perfection that we can hope for and promises to always be faithful and true, even though we will never earn the extravagant love of God that is offered to us in spite of ourselves. Christ is the perfecter of our faith, and it is the Son of God alone who will carry us beyond death to give us a room in the eternal mansion that God has prepared for us, the kingdom of God that has no end, where we can live on in the eternal perfection that only God can give. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. I hope that you have enjoyed this week's sermon podcast. If you would like to hear more, read my blog, or get a copy of my book called The Church Unknown, go to www.revsethnelson.com. If you feel called to support our ministry, I invite you to go to our church's website at flcronan.org and click on the Offerings tab. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.